Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So we're going to finish out the book of Ezra this week. We have been in this book for a couple weeks now. Last week, we talked about how Ezra was a scribe and how he was a student of God's word and his law, and how he was skilled at using his word and was able to teach his word. And so that's kind of going to go hand in hand with what we're going to talk about this week as we get into Ezra chapter 9. And we're going to see that there is a bit of a failure when it comes to some of the leaders of Judah when they go back to Jerusalem. So let's look here at Ezra chapter 9 and verse 1. It says, "Now, when these things had been completed, the princes approached me," this is speaking of Ezra, "saying, 'The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the peoples of the land. According to their abominations, those of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed has intermingled with the peoples of the lands. Indeed, the hands of the princes and the officials have been foremost in this unfaithfulness. When I heard about this matter, I tore my garment and my robe and pulled some of the hair from my head and my beard, and sat down in consternation." Now, I want to pause here for a moment and just look at what has occurred here in chapter 9. Remember, the Torah taught Israel when they came out of Egypt, and he instructed the people not to intermarry, not to intermingle with the people of the land. The purpose of this was to protect Israel from the wicked ways of the people who lived in the land. Because God knew that if they took their daughters as wives, that they would be led astray by these women. And ultimately, they would be led into idolatry. Okay? And that was the sin that Israel did the first time of them being in the land. They intermarried with the daughters, the wives of the land, and they were led astray. We saw that happen with Solomon when he was king over Israel. He was led astray by the foreign women that he had married. Okay, so here is Israel who has been in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. Yahweh moves upon the heart of the king. He allows the people of Israel to return unto Jerusalem to build the temple. Now, they're not their own nation, their own country. They were still basically like a province under the nation of Persia at this moment in time. But he has given them the freedom to go to their land, to build their temple, and to worship their God. And upon returning to the land, we see here that the people fall back into the original sin that they had been committing beforehand, okay? And what's even telling on this one is that the priest and the Levites fell into this sin as well, okay? So that's where this kind of ties into what we talked about last week, and the fact that Ezra was a person who was very well understanding, very masterful when it came to God's law, the Torah, the instructions he had given. He understood it. He knew it. He was able to teach it. And that was the role of the priests and the Levites as well. Yes, they served a purpose in the temple when it came to the sacrifice, but they also played a role when it came to teaching the people about the law as well. So here are the leaders of the nation, the heads of the nation, who have gone back into the land, and instead of leading the people And that which was righteous, okay, that which was pure, that which was holy, according to Yahweh's Torah and the instructions he had given them, instead, they fall into this sin, into this thing which was an abomination unto Yahweh. And they intermarry with the people of the land. So the leaders of the nation lead Israel astray. So when we think about how quickly they fell back into sin, it just reminds us of the importance of us being sober and being on guard, knowing that our flesh will draw us away. We have to be alert. We have to be on guard for those thoughts and those desires that are inside of us that are contrary to his word, because we as humans can fall into the same trap that we see here with Israel. We can quickly be led back to our sin if we don't stay on guard. And like I said, this was done by the leaders. We have to be careful. Even as believers, we need to be Bereans. We need to study everything out. We need to check everything out that is taught unto us to see if it checks out with the word of God. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 16. This is previous to them going into captivity. Speaking of the leaders, for those who guide this people are leading them astray, and those who are guided by them are brought to confusion. So we see, even before they are brought into captivity into Babylon, they had gone through something very similar to this already. That the people who were guiding the people, the leaders of the nation at that time, was leading the nation astray. And those who allowed these leaders to lead them astray were brought to confusion. Okay, so we have to be careful of leaders who lead astray and not to be guided by those who lead people astray, because if you're guided by one who leads those astray, it will lead unto confusion, okay, instead of understanding and knowledge and wisdom. Well, let's look at what Yeshua says about this in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. This was Yeshua speaking of the religious leaders at that time. He said they were blind guides. They were leading the people as those who could not see. He relates it to if you had a blind person who is leading somebody down a road somewhere. A blind guide leading the blind. So all of them are blind. So none of them can see. None of them know where they're going. They have no idea how to get to their destination point. So that's where we got to be careful when it comes to following those who are leading astray, because you are as one who is being led by a blind guide, and you are blind as well. And if that happens, he says, you will fall into a pit, meaning you will not see the hole that is in front of you. Or spiritually speaking, when you are being led astray, led by someone who is not teaching his word correctly, who is teaching you it is okay to sin, as the leaders of Israel was teaching and allowing the people of Israel to intermarry with the women of the land, they were leading the people into a pit. They were leading the people of Israel into a trap. That's what happens when we follow a blind guide, or we allow ourselves to be led into a trap, into a pit. And that's what the enemy desires to do. He sets out traps in front of us to try to trap us along the way. That's why it's important for us to be as Ezra was, one who was skilled in his Torah, one who knew his Torah, who studied his Torah. We need to be as Ezra was, and not to be as these leaders here who went back and led the people astray. Now, let's look at how Ezra's response was. We read there in verse 3, and let's go back to verse 3 here to get Ezra's response upon hearing this news. He says, "When I heard about this matter, I tore my garment and my robe, and I pulled some of the hair from my head and my beard and sat down in consternation." So, upon hearing what the leaders of the people were doing so quickly upon returning to the land, he tears his garment and robe. This speaks of the magnitude of sadness and grief that he experienced over this situation. And he even pulls the hair from his head and his beard. He is rending himself because of the evilness that is going on in Israel, and he sat in astonishment. He was astonished by what had happened. He was taken aback. He was shocked at how quick Israel had returned to their evil. Now, let's go on here in Ezra chapter 9 and read in verse 4. "Then everyone who trembled at the words of the God of Israel on the account of the unfaithfulness of the exiles gathered to me, and I sat appalled until the evening offering. But at the evening offering, I arose from my affliction, even with my garment and my robe torn, and I fell on my knees and stretched out my hands to Yahweh my God. And I said, Oh my God, I am ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have multiplied above our heads, and our guilt has become great even to the heavens." So we see here in verse 4, Ezra was not the only one who trembled at the words of God. There were others. In fact, it was one of the others who trembled at the words of God. So if you tremble at the words of God, you have a desire inside of you to want to obey his word. And so one of these who trembled at the words of God, who wanted to obey God's word, when they saw the wickedness going on, they went back to Ezra to report unto him. It was one of these. And so all those who trembled at God's word gathered unto Ezra. Those who fear Yahweh, who love Yahweh, have a great response or a saddening upon seeing the wickedness that is done by others. And that's what we see here. And that saddening that they have, the astonishment, them being appalled about it, called them unto action. And we're going to see the first thing that they did when they gathered together over this situation is at the evening offering, Ezra arises and he confesses the wickedness of the nation of Israel before Yahweh. Ezra stands in the gap of the people of Israel at that moment in time. So he makes confession for their sin, because Ezra knows that all is not lost at this moment. There is a time, there is a period that is given unto them where they can correct the wickedness that is going on. So he goes and he makes confession. He makes prayer unto Yahweh on behalf of the nation. We need to be willing to stand in the gap for the sin that we see around us, to make confession on behalf of those, and to pray and to intercede for them, that they will see their wickedness and they will have a desire to turn from their wickedness and embrace God's law. That was ultimately Ezra's desire, was that these people would not be destroyed. If you read through the passage, you'll see his desire is for them to turn from their wickedness, to stop what they're doing. Now, for those who would not turn, who refuse to turn from their wickedness, then the instruction is for those to be done away with, for them to be out of the camp, because you can't have a little sin. You can't have a little leaven, because it will leaven the whole lump. Okay, so got to separate that which is evil. But before you do that, you give the time, you give the opportunity for that person to confess of their sin and to turn. And we serve a loving God who is merciful, who is compassionate, and who is graceful. And he gives us time, and he gives us the ability to confess our sin and to turn from our sin, because none of us are perfect. And if we got what we deserved, we would get nothing good at all. But because he is merciful and he is faithful and he is righteous, he forgives us of our sins because he desires to be with us and he will cleanse us from all that is unrighteous. So let's read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Ezra gives the people of the land an opportunity to turn from their sin. And as we read in the passage, we see that the people do respond to his call for them to turn from their sin, to confess their sin, to confess what they've done. And those who turn from their sin, those who put away the foreign wives that they had lived, was embraced by the nation of Israel. Let's look at Ezra chapter 10 and verse 3. This is the call for them to repent of the wrong that they were doing. So before he calls for the repentance, first he prayed. He stood in the gap for them. He interceded for them. He confessed on their behalf before he stood before them and called for them to repent. So Ezra chapter 10 and verse 3. So now let us cut a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and their children, according to the counsel of my Lord and of those who tremble at the commandment of our God. And let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter is your responsibility, but we will be with you. Be strong and act. Then Ezra arose and made the leading priests, the Levites, and all Israel swear an oath that they would do according to this word. So they swore an oath. We confess our sins before him, but we also must repent of our sin. To repent of our sin means to turn from that which we are doing wrong and embrace that which is righteous. It's to hate that which is evil. It's to hate sin. It's to depart from sin. And it's to cling unto that which is righteous, which is his instructions, his law, his Torah, his word. So we cling unto it and we follow it. And we obey it, and we do it. And we need to be careful of the warning that we can learn from this. The warning and the reason they were not to marry the foreign wives was so they would not be pulled away from Yahweh. We need to be aware of those things that are in our lives that draw our passions, that draw our flesh away from the righteous God of Israel, from Yahweh. We need to pay attention to even the smallest bit of compromise that would pull us away from walking in obedience to His word and walking in that which is holy, that which is set apart. To depart from even the smallest thing that would want to conform unto this world instead of embracing His way, His righteousness, His words. Because even the smallest thing can eventually, over time, pull us away from His word. It was over time that Israel was led astray from Yahweh and began to worship the gods of the people the first time around. We don't know too much detail in this story, but it seems to be that when Ezra stepped in, that all they had done was marry the foreign wives. We do not see that they had began to worship their gods as of yet. But because of the mercy of God, it's brought to the attention of Ezra, and Ezra does something. He takes bold action. He confesses on their behalf. He calls for them to repent before they got to the point of worshiping their gods. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us this week for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.